Thank you. Yeah, so I'm glad that actually like so many people nowadays like really care about security. I think it wasn't the case when I first started doing Python. I was one of those people who just put things together with duct tapes. So that's good. And I'm gonna dive deeper into what the PSF has been doing and also what you should do and also maybe some information that like you may find interesting to know like what we are doing. So this is the most important slide of the whole slide deck because it has a link to the whole slide deck. So with this, you don't have to take pictures after. So maybe you want to keep this, the picture of this slide just in case. And also you can also, tag me, message me, I love that. So I'm Chuck, I love open source. People ask me, how did you get involved in like Python? Well, I just step by step, like most of you, I was like, it was the data scientist, I was doing Python and then, go to meetup and then people ask, do you want to organize meetup? Yes, I organize meetup. And then, do you want to come to the conference? Yes, I come to the conference. And then, do you want to organize the conference? Yes, I want to organize the conference. So after saying yes multiple times, and then I'm here. So now I'm at Python Software Foundation board member, so I'm one of the directors and fellow. So that's my volunteer work. So how do I do, what do I do in my day job? I am a community manager at OpenSSF. So a lot of things I talk about here actually related to these two hats that I'm wearing from time to time, which is very special. So OpenSSF, we are part of Linux Foundation. We have a stand at Building K, Level 2. So come to us. We have stickers there as well. So that's OpenSSF stickers, so you can come and get some stickers from me. I would tell you more about that there. I won't talk about it here now. So let me ask you a question. So when you let's imagine you have to move tomorrow. You have to choose a place to live. So what are the criteria, right? What were you looking for? Like if you go to do a viewing, what questions you would ask the estate agent or people who show you around? So for me, one of the things I'll ask, is this neighborhood safe, right? Safety is very important. No matter who you are, you don't want to live in somewhere that maybe you, every time you go back home in the dark, you feel scared, or maybe you worry that someone may break into your house and steal things, So safety is very important. Also same as software, right? You don't want someone to break into your house, but you also don't want someone to hack into your computer or your system or things like that. So that's very important, and I'm glad that a lot of us care about that these days. Security in Python is even more important. A lot of times I make the analogy because I love Python and the community so much, it feels like my family. They're like, I don't want these people to be vulnerable and got attacked. So protecting Python and the community is very important. So why Python is, why do people care about security in Python? I think one of the things special about Python is that we have a lot of different people using Python, including people who may not be traditionally trained as a software engineer. For example, some researcher. We have a huge scientific computing community that they may be a researcher themselves. They use Python to help them with their research. Data scientists. I was a data scientist. I was the one who doesn't care about security, so I know. Bank, this is, again, I have worked in a bank before at some point, so I know that bank use Python, and this is a very important, organization, and, Python is there. Government as well, government also use Python. I have, friends who have worked in the government before, there are lots of governments actually using Python. Teachers are teaching young people, teaching the next generation of software developers. They also use Python. Maybe this is the first language a lot of young people these days, the first language is instead of us, who have a little bit gray hair, it's we use C when we were learning. But now it's maybe they are learning Python. And anybody, you and me, we're here in the Python dev room, so we use Python. So, yeah. So Python is vulnerable because, again, these people may not be trained as a software developer. So they just kind of go to code in the first day, then the profile is very different. We can't just, for example, we can't just focus on securing the Python in bank. That's not good enough, right? How about the government? How about the people who are writing software as a hobby? And all this, we have to try to cover everybody. And it's very hard when you have a diverse user profile. And again, a lot of people nowadays, especially young people, this is the first programming language. And they, you know, they may learn Python before they know what is cybersecurity, right? So that is very important because they may not know it. So how can we help these people to be more secure when they are coding? So also, is like to make things more complex now, you know, because in the last talk you have heard about all these. And also in FOSDEM, you know, we have a dev room. We have a talk yesterday about CRA, you know, all this policy actually coming to affect us. It's not that like, oh, we are just a bunch of people who love coding and have fun. No, like we also care about, especially when you're making a living with coding, policies will affect you because it's kind of policies trying to protect the customers. If you are creating a product that you are distributing them, so that would actually you have to have a look at least as what's going on. So, you know, in US we have the, you know, the SBOM bill, or, you know, that's the real name, but we just call it SBOM bill a lot of times. And CRA, you know, we have a lot of section about CRA is coming, you know, because it's going to be effective in a few years. So AI Act, I hope you have heard about those terms, AI Act, PRD. So these things are happening now, so that's why we care. So we have to protect the Python users, not just those people that I talk about that are using Python, but also you and me who may be developing in Python. We don't want to get caught in those policies that, you know, we don't want to do anything that actually we have to be liable. So we have to protect everybody. Before I jump into what we are doing, so I'm going to talk a little bit about what are the most common open source issues. So hopefully you're aware, you're trying to like avoid those issues, but also you can, it's kind of like a homework that when you know, maybe after the talk, you can kind of link back of what we're doing is related to which one, which problem that we're solving. So this 10 risk actually is, I didn't develop them myself. I copied from somewhere, so the reference there, you can have a look at the blog post. So top 10 risk. So now you can evaluate, right? Have you made those mistakes? Hopefully you won't. Or, you know, how you can avoid those mistakes. So first of all, known vulnerability. So, have you been using a software that actually got a security issues evolved but you haven't upgraded? Have you, sometimes there's like compromise of legitimate packages. So let's say if you are a maintainer of a very important package that everybody uses, if your account got hacked and someone put some malicious code in your code base, then everybody's using that package. So you feel very bad if you are doing that. So that's one of the risks we want to avoid. Name confusion attacks. How many times like you forgot to type the S at the end of pandas? So you install panda instead of pandas, then you know, you can be vulnerable to that attack if you're typing the name wrong. Unmaintained software, you know, I've done that before. I was a data scientist trying a lot of things, so I found this library that this model is quite cool. Install it and try, but it doesn't work because it hasn't been updated for 4 years. So unmaintained software is also a risk. Outdated software is similar. You know, outdated, you should always keep your software up to date because there may be some security patches. Untracking dependency, this is again, like, I know that a lot of us are, you know, using a very good package manager, but for people who are maybe new, they don't know, or they are, again, like learning Python as their first programming language, they don't know that like managing the dependencies is very important, especially when you're writing some code that need to be in production. So license risk, this is not actually like cybersecurity risk, but again, like how many times before you pip install something, you have checked what license they have. Because some license, they may not be copy, you know, they you may have to be open source if you're using them, even though they're open source. So license could be, again, like it's another topic that I can give another like talk in, like, you know, about, but, you know, check the license all the time. Immature software, sometimes, you know, again, if you're just trying different things, someone may write a package that you could pip install, but maybe it's immature because it's not production ready. It's just someone's like experiment, a prototype. So, and unapproved changes. Have you like give everybody push right to the main branch? So avoid those because, you know, maybe you give a junior dev like push the main branch and they may erase everything. So. Yeah, that's not good. Oversized dependency. We always have this problem. You know, Python, we have so many packages available. And that may be a problem that your dependency is too big. So Now, so we have so many problems that we want to avoid. We have to get extra power to solve this problem. So I know that like a lot of times we are just relying on volunteers to help out, and really appreciate all the volunteers who help out. That's why we can survive for so long. But security is so important. So hiring someone to full time and take care of it is actually a very good thing that we could do. So that's what we could do right now. So I would like to introduce you to these two amazing gentlemen that is helping like full time now, working in Python Software Foundation to do work on security for Python. So Seth is a security developer in residence. So this role is actually funded by Alpha Omega Project. So thank you for that. You can see his beautiful face there. Yes. And the next gentleman I want to introduce you is Mike. So Mike is PyPI safety and security engineer. So this role is funded by AWS. So again, like he's working probably working a lot with together with packages. So maybe they are trying to, maybe you are using the packages that like Mike has put some effort in. So thank you very much. So this is what has been done. Like, well, it's, to be honest, this is a few months ago. Like, I put this together a few months ago, so maybe not most updated one, but like you can look at Seth's blog for the most updated work. Anyway, so so now, like Python releases. So when you use Python, you have to actually get your C Python, right? So C Python usually just go to the official Python website and download C Python, but how do you know this version of the C Python is actually the real C Python instead of maybe someone hack our website and put a malicious C Python there? The best way to ensure that it's legitimate is to sign it, right? So Sixdoor, again, like someone mentioned it in the last talk already, is a new mechanism that you can use a certificate to sign the release. So it's kind of very easy to verify, to sign, and it's keyless, so it's more secure. And so everything is locked, so you can check, so there's a transparency lock, so you can check like who signed it and when is this got signed, and you can fully trust this CPython is the right CPython that you're supposed to be using. Oops, I skipped some slides. Okay, so so all these like new, from certain time that is like, CPython release has been signed. So it's not just like the newest release, of course they are signed, but also like all these versions upward, they are all signed. So you can always verify them. Sorry, it's a bit hard to see, but all these, you can see who has signed it, who are the release manager, and you can check all those log and check the issuer and like check all stuff. So. Okay, so yeah, you can actually write some, so this is, I hope you're familiar with that, this is kind of like a YAML file that you could probably use your in your CI/CD to check it, to check whether your Python that you're using in your CI/CD pipeline is the right Python. So, also, what if I found an issue, right? What if I have discovered a security problem? Actually, in Python, we have a response team. That's really great. So it's not just Seth or Mike themselves, but also like it's a team to help out. So if you found something about CPython, hopefully it's not happened that often. It applies to both supported or the end of life version or pip. Then you can actually file those reports, so the team will work with you to handle it. So how do they work? So first of all, they would work with you if you are reporting, so you are the reporter. So they will work with you privately. So privately is the key, because you don't want to shout out to the whole world, oh, we have an issue with Python and it's not secure. No, we don't want that. So we'll work with you privately, right? So after that, like when a, after that, of course, the developers, core developers work, and then we'll try to find a patch. And then, okay, so now it's patched. Now there's new release, right? So, okay, we have a solution. Now it has been solved. Now it will be publicly announced. Now we can tell the world, say like, okay, we had a problem, but now it has been solved. So everybody please use the newer version of Python, which this issue has been resolved, right? So this is usually how it works. So first step, instead of posting it on, your social media, report it to the response team. Don't post it on social media, write a blog post. Report it, and then after, when it can be go public, then you can write a blog post saying how awesome you found a bug or something like that. Right. So, this is a really good news. So Python Software Foundation has also become a CNA. So what is CNA? So CNA is actually an organization that can give out the CVE numbers. So what are CVE numbers? So CVE numbers actually are a unique identifier to identify each security issue that has been reported. So for example, CVE, that example there, you can see that, like, first of all, there's 4 digits of the year, and then there's like 5 digits of unique identifiers. So you would see that when people, talking about, oh, is this new patch solving this issue? So instead of this issue, which we don't know what is that issue, and naming thing is hard, we just use a number saying like this CVE 2022 4H564 issue has been resolved, right? So we can clearly say that this this new version is not affected by that. So that's a good thing. This helped to discuss and communicate and make everybody easy to identify where the problem is and where has been resolved. So by becoming a CNA, which means that we, the Python Software Foundation, is taking these security issues very seriously. Now we can assign CVE IDs to any issues that you have reported about CPython and PIP. So if we see that that is actually a issues that you found, we'll give it a CVE. So we would actually be very quick to respond and make sure that everything got resolved. That's the CNA part. We are so glad that now we are a authority that we can give our CVEs. The next thing is that actually knowing the CVEs, how can we keep a log, keep a database of what CVE has been discovered and what has been affected and that kind of thing. So, of course, we have a database. We'll store all those data. We have a PyTA advisory database. So it will store what it will store, right? It will store the CPython from the CVEs, so all these security issue affecting CPython will be stored there. So there are also some packages, sometimes they have problems, but we won't give CVEs for the packages. They kind of work by themselves. So, but PIP audit, you can kind of check those packages on PyBI, so if it's known, then it will be there. Also, all these the PyPA advisory database, this information is now also synced with OSV, vulnerability database. So OSV vulnerability database is not just limited to Python, it's also including other vulnerabilities in other software. So if your application is not just Python, it also have other components, you can actually use OSV to check everything. So so that's good. You can use both. There's more visibility, so people can easily find the issues in Python ecosystem in the OSV, and also vice versa, we can also see other issues as well, so it's good. So, but that's not it. So that's the thing that we have been doing at the organizational level, so that's something that maybe as an individual developer, you don't have to put too much work in it, but let's go to this section, which I have listed out what you can do as a developer, as a user, or as a company. So. First of all, we want you to help us to secure our community. If you are maintainers of Python project, first rule of thumb, enable 2FA everywhere. This is always like very important, You don't want someone to hack into any of your, GitHub, PyPI, or email account to, gain access of these things that you're publishing and someone may be using, right? So you should learn about how to develop a better, safer software. OpenSSF, we have some free guides that you can follow. Talk to me afterwards at the booth or something. Use tools like, Scorecard and Sextor. These are the tools that, again, OpenSSF has associated with. And then we have, actually, these are, I won't talk in the detail, but talk to me about how to use those tools after. Also subscribe to the PyPI blog for security features. Those are the official announcements. But Seth also got a very, very good blog. I highly recommend you follow him. He's lovely. You have a lot of, very useful information that's given out on his blog. But as a user, maybe you are using Python project, you can be a maintainer and a user at the same time, right? So as a user, you should keep your dependency logged and up to date. Don't be someone like me, 5-7 years ago that just duct tape everything. No, keep your dependency logged and make sure that you use the good package manager. Subscribe for advisories. You will see the email coming from that email after you have subscribed to that mailing list. You would be first notified if there's any information that you should know. So people update, it may be a good tool to check your dependencies. But again, like if your application is not just Python, so OSV would have everything that you need to know. So if you are working, I assume that most of us are working in a company. So if you're using Python in the company or any open source project, I think there's more you can do. You can convince your company to become a member of OpenSSF, so contribute to all this open source security work, or support Python Software Foundation. We want to hire more people to help. So, the most easy way is like if your company has a big budget, then you can maybe support us to hire another person. That would be great. So also educate the employee. So if you're like kind of a lead or a manager, maybe you can encourage your teammate to study to learn more about security. So, on Linux Foundation, we have a lot of free courses. It's a very good, resource that you could maybe use. Also, follow best practice. Like, just make sure your team don't duct tape things together. Make sure that the product is production ready. Follow good practice. Make sure that it's safe, and then it's better in the long run. So maybe it will be easier for you to get ready to be compliant to when CRA come into effect or something like that. Right. So, last, thank you so much for Alpha Omega and AWS to support Python Software Foundation so we can hire two amazing gentlemen that we have today. And it would be great if we can have a third person. So please, if your company want to support, please point them our way. Thank you so much. This is the end, and this is the link to the slide. And I'm happy to talk to you afterwards. Have coffee with me or anything, or message me. I'll be here today. So.